This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Luton Town, more like let's send Luton down, am I right? Well, that's what some of the old school City dads will be saying ahead of the Hatters' trip to the Etihad this weekend. It's Friday, the 12th of April. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm David Powell.
I'm Alex Michelle.
And this is the City Report Podcast.
It's here for Gundogan! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back to the City Report Podcast, your final episode of a week. And what a week it's been. I want to continue straight away. This is a Luton preview. We will get to Luton. But look, there's only been one talking point this week, and it was that game in the Spanish capital. City 3, Real Madrid 3. We've had plenty of reaction, but none of it has come from these two chaps in front of me. Alex, I guess, what are we, 2-3 days after the game itself? Are you has your opinion changed on the results since full time up until now?
No, I'm absolutely buzzing with it. I was really, really happy with that performance. I know some people have talked down on it a bit. I mean, it wasn't the most complete performance from City, but hey, it's what you need to do when you go to the Bernabeu. I mean, we've seen in the past two seasons, like, I think back to Rodri's left-footed goal against Bayern. I think back to De Bruyne's goal, of course, against Real Madrid away. And it's just like this is a different City than years prior, where in these big games, it doesn't really matter what the overall system is. It doesn't really matter what the overall tactics are as much as the individual players stepping up in the right moments. And you know, that Phil Foden goal just encapsulates it all for me, because
how many times have you watched it on a scale of, what, 1 to 1 billion?
Yeah, some closer to 1 billion, I reckon.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, it's just absurd. Like, 2-1 down, I mean, the start of the match was just absurd. Like, that Bernardo goal had me up on my feet. I don't think I've celebrated a goal like that in a long time. And then you blink your eyes and all of a sudden it's 2-1. But, you know, for Phil Foden to find his spot in that moment and to make it 2-2, that is just the resilience that this side has now that we have not had in years prior and has been our shortcoming in the Champions League. And now it's just another aspect of the inevitable City. You know, it's just, we have that aspect to us, and that's what real champions are made of. You know, you look across it at the games and players like Jude Bellingham, players like Kylian Mbappe, they're not stepping up in these moments, you know, like at least not this week. They will. And I think some people on social media have been too quick to judge. But we have a player like that. We have players like that, multiple, who can step up. And that is just the difference for me.
Yeah, I do want to speak about Josko Gvardiol because your stocks must be absolutely hot, absolutely skyrocketing now. I'm glad I jumped on that train early doors as well. David, quickly, is it better for City to have gone to the Bernabeu and scored three goals, conceded three goals and not lost? Or is it a concern that City scored three goals against Real Madrid away and didn't win?
It's a good, very good question. I think I've been talking about it with my dad a little bit. I think Real Madrid will be quite worried that we've gone to the Bernabeu and scored three goals without Haaland being on the score sheet, without De Bruyne playing. And they know what happened last year at the Etihad when we were pumping goals left, right and centre throughout the season, throughout the final running. We've struggled to score a lot of goals. Like, I know we've done the Champions League three in every game, for like whatever else it was, but in the Premier League, we're not as free-flowing in front of goal as we have been. And we've gone there and scored three goals. Like Alex said, come from behind again, which we've done so many times this season, that I think, albeit we've leaked three goals, but it's at the Bernabeu. Like, the old Man City of 2-3 years ago probably would have done five or six, especially in that last 5-10 minutes. We would have crumbled, and we have crumbled. So the more I've thought about the game, my opinion's weaved and ebbed and flowed so many times. But I always come back to the fact that we stunned the Bernabeu within whatever it was, 20 seconds. I was still making a cup of tea in the kitchen with my headphones in. I was like, oh my God, I've missed the goal. What's going on? We've come back from behind and we scored three goals and we weren't at our best. It wasn't a typical City performance. It wasn't a great City performance, but I thought it was a good performance all round to go there and do what we did.
Yeah, it was just one of those games. It was madness. And Alex, you can tie in your Gvardiol goal, and I'm sure you're dying to speak about it. But do you think Pep Guardiola's leaned into that chaos ball a little bit more in a good sense? He's always been such a methodical, controlled manager, and we saw aspects of that in City's Champions League win last year. But it feels like, having had that one under the belt, we saw it against Real Madrid a little bit. The vibes are flowing, and that's kind of what you need to win this competition. And I mean, those two goals in the second half are the most vibey of vibe goals ever. Do we really see City teams and City players take, I'm not going to call them pot shots because they're worldies, but you get the sentiment.
Yeah, 100%. I think for Pep, it's certainly sort of like a learning moment in a way, and not necessarily this game being a learning moment, just that over the course of his time at City, he has realized that in this competition, it takes more than just being perfect from a sort of tactical and like the sort of strictly managerial perspective, and you have to prepare your team mentally and have the sort of like character within the club to be able to have those sorts of moments. And it really comes down to putting the players in the right positions to allow them to have those moments, not necessarily from the sense that, you know, the tactics create the moments. It's not like Pep Guardiola, you know, his selection of lineup resulted in that Phil Foden goal, but at the same time, you have to put him in that position for that moment to happen. Like, those two have to still be interlinked and come into one another, but you do have to play more into that individual side of things. And some of that is uncontrollable. You know, some of that is just that Phil Foden is one of the most unique footballers in the world. He grew up a City product. That is just sort of happenstance almost. It's not something that you can calculate. And now to go on the other side of the spectrum with Josko Gvardiol, you can manufacture that sometimes, where you see a player who has the potential to break a game like this, and that's why you spend £100 million on him, £90 million on him, whatever it was. And it's not necessarily that moment in particular proves Vardiol's price tag. But if Vardiol is not as special of a player as he is, you know, that goal is probably not going in. No other player is really attempting that. Like, I mean, Joao Cancelo, I think in the past, similarly, has been a defender that we've had who has that sort of X factor to him. John Stones, in different ways, has that X factor to him. But yeah, it's just about, you know, it even goes into the mentality of the club as well, believing that you can come back and believing that you can have those big moments and that you're built for it. It's sort of like the opposite to we're not really here. It's like we are here. Like, this is our platform. This is our moment. We are now one of the biggest clubs. And, you know, just to, again, if you can give me a second, one more second to give my Vardiol prop, like, I've been lauding this guy since he signed for us. I've done multiple threads on Twitter analyzing him. And I think it was the third game of the season against Sheffield United when the ball pops up and he does this like Cruyff turn and just completely spins his defender. And I was just sitting
he's
in my seat.
21, and exactly, he's got balls of steel.
Oh, it's absurd. And he's tried that shot multiple times this season. I remember against West Ham in particular. There have been a few others.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think Brentford was
location.
Another game where he had himself on the odd sheet for a goal. But yeah, it was sensational and fair play to him, because I know he's taken a bit of stick this season, and he's playing in such a demanding position, and the minutes he's been given for a brand new signing in a Pep Guardiola team, almost from minute one. Remember Newcastle at home, he was sensational, a revelation, and that was what, second game of the season. So yeah, he deserved that moment. Phil Foden deserved that moment. David, we'll obviously have plenty of previews in the front end of next week after this Luton game, but just at the moment, are you confident about City going through? It's obviously being dubbed as another one of those massive games at the Etihad Stadium. Are we going to see another 4-0 like we did last year? Listeners, I'd say probably don't get your hopes up that high, but City have to be feeling themselves, don't they? As Alex says, they're here now, and you know that's how they'll be approaching this game. We're the top dog, we're the reigning champions, they're coming to our place, let's beat them.
Absolutely, yeah. I think going into that game, like I didn't feel that nervous, and like I think I've said this so many times in big games over the past year or 2 years on this podcast, I'm so less nervous going into these big games, and it's not because I'm becoming a cocky Man City fan, like it's because I am so much more confident in, like Alex said, the resilience, the ability to come back from losing, like when we were losing to like Lyon and PSG in stupid like end-to-end basketball games, like you were going into them thinking we could be 3-0 up here and we could still go out. But now Madrid went 2-1 up and we were on the ropes for a little bit, but I was confident we were going to get a draw out this game and then bring them back to the Etihad. But like, as you said there, the Etihad game, I'm confident we will outscore them, whether that's in 90 minutes or extra time or whatever it may be. I am confident we will outscore them. I think what happened last year, you can't hide from the fact of how intense that was, that first 45 minutes, how good we were. The City players are going to remember it. There's not a huge amount of players that aren't available that were for that game last season. And I know we don't want to bring Liverpool into it, but there's certain things that stick in players' heads. There's a lot of Real Madrid players there that crumbled, that with a lot of experience, that will be playing again. Will Cruz be there? Will Modric be there? They absolutely shrunk. So I'm confident. I think we will win it. I don't want to be too confident because I don't like putting that out in the atmosphere and stuff, but I do think we'll go through. And I think if we go through, I don't see how we don't go on and win the competition as well, which is a big statement to make, but that's sort of where I'm at with it. And then one more thing, because quickly on the Guardiola thing, I want to get my flowers in there. I literally text the group chat saying I think he needs his flowers, and then 30 seconds later he pings that one in the top corner. And I was
love
like,
that. Yeah, I love that.
I was absolutely loving it. Everyone was like, no, he's unbelievable. I was like, well, everyone's agreeing with me here, but my stream was about 2 minutes behind. So, yeah, he definitely deserves it. That's a brilliant performance.
Yeah. Yeah, sensational. I had a similar sort of thing in the stadium. I turned to the fellow next to us, and it didn't look like City were necessarily going to get a goal at 2-1 down, and said who would be the most unlikely goal scorer. And I said, oh, it'd be hilarious if Guardiola pops up with a screamer. Lo and behold, I guess that manifestation worked.
Yeah.
David, I want to stick with you. I want to turn attention to Luton, and I referenced it in the introduction. Not a lot of City fans, even some seasoned City fans, will be aware of the rivalry, let's say. It's funny, the contrast. We've just gone from saying that Real Madrid are shit scared of City, and now we're talking about a rivalry with Luton Town. But does your dad hate Luton as much as mine, David?
He's not said it to me, unless I've not listened to it. But I don't know. Why do City fans hate Luton so much?
So I think it's 1983. Not that any of us spring chickens were knocking about then, but last game of the season, Luton beat City at Main Road to relegate City. And there's a section of City supporters who genuinely, not necessarily on a par with Man United or those sort of traditional rivals, but you mentioned the name Luton Town and there's just anger spewing up. And I remember Sky Sports News, they do like a goal show for the Premier League on the first day of the season. Brighton were smashing Luton Town. My dad was celebrating it like it was a frigging Champions League title for City. It was mad. I've never seen anything like it. So for some, this is a big game at the Etihad. But Alex, do you think it's good to have a team like this back into the real world now? Let's go back into the real world. Do you think it's good for City to have a game like this in between the two legs of the Real Madrid fixture? Or do you think it's possibly more of a banana skin than you would have wanted. Team down at the bottom, team fighting for their life, team that can play really good football, as we've seen already this season.
No, I think it's good. I think it's a nice mix between being able to rotate players and being able to put out an 11 that is not close to first choice, and at the same time have a challenge in front of you that you have to overcome still. Because, as you said, Luton Town aren't, you know, they're not going to let City walk all over them. So no matter what the 11 is, it's going to be a challenge in some form or another. And I do think we'll come away with 3 points out of it. But, you know, it's better than, I think it's definitely better than facing, you know, Arsenal or Liverpool in between here. I think I would much rather face a Luton Town than one of those big teams. But I think it's something where, of course, as they always say, you have to just focus one game at a time and you have to make sure that it doesn't become a banana skin and it's not something that we slip up on here. And even, you know, if Rodri and Foden and John Stones are benched, it's a case where you don't want to be sitting there in the 70th minute thinking, wait, do we need to sub these guys on? So yeah, it is a bit mixed, but I think that's actually a really, really nice place to be. And I think the biggest benefit here is that the game is at home, and then it follows up with the Real Madrid tie at home. So I think that's the biggest benefit for me out of all of it. But no, I think just all around, it's sort of what you would want in between a massive Champions League quarterfinal like this.
Yeah, I think it is up there. There's a category possibly of Fulham, Sheffield United, maybe Burnley at home of these fixtures that if you could handpick one in between this season-defining fixture against Real Madrid, then you're certainly going to go for that. But I do think, David, that Luton have caused problems this season, and I think they've been 5 minutes away from wins against both Liverpool and Arsenal. I remember Declan Rice scored in like the 152nd minute or something like that. That, however, was at Kenilworth Road, and Luton on the road have been a completely different team. They've not looked anywhere near as comfortable, albeit I think they only lost 1-0 away at Manchester United, which I guess is a good result for Man United more than Luton. But you know, this could be a problem for City, but at the same time, you're probably looking at it going, this is a good opportunity for them to get fresh faces on the field, fresh legs on the field, and just take 3 points and then put the pressure back onto the chasing rivals.
Yeah, I think so. It's like Alex said, there could be on paper a lot more difficult games than playing a team that wants to go and play a bit of football, wants to score goals. If we had a low block team and we had to try and rotate in your Oscar Bobs and stuff, we'd be like, Crystal Palace at home, for example. I know we did well, but Luton are going to, even if they do sit in, they're not going to, touch wood, they don't do it as well as other teams to cause us those kind of problems that, like you said, get to 70 minutes and it's 0-0 and they have a breakaway and get a penalty or whatever that might happen. It's a game that on paper we should go and win it, even with the rotated players in there. I think they're struggling a bit, aren't they? I don't think they've won in a few games, and they're not scoring as many goals as they have done in earlier in the season when they were banging 3 and 4 in at times. But we can't really ask for much more. Like Alex said again, it's a home game. We've got a home game at Madrid followed up. So I'm confident, never fully confident, but yeah, I think it's a perfect opportunity for some players to come in, and hopefully Rodri does get that rest and we break that duct of we don't win when Rodri doesn't play.
yeah. Which we'll speak about in part two, the team selection, because I think for the first time in a long time, there's a bit of an interesting team selection to approach this game. So see you after the break, listeners. Stay exactly where you are.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. at participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the City Report podcast. Alex, how does Pep Guardiola approach this game? How does City approach this game? What faces should be in the starting 11?
I mean, I guess I'll just go back to front because that is probably easiest. I think we don't really know what's going on with Ederson at the moment. I know you talked about it yesterday a bit. I'm not really sure if he's going to be fit for this. I assume that he is fit enough to be able to start here. I would assume he gets thrown back in. In defense, I think you have to bench John Stones here. I don't think that you play around with anything there. And I'm pretty sure that leaves us with four fit defenders as long as Kyle Walker is not back yet, which I think he's on the borderline of, but I don't think he'll be ready for this one. So it should be Vardiol off the left, Ruben and Akanji at the back, and then Rico Lewis probably stepping up from right back. I think moving into the midfield, I do agree with what David just said. I think this is one where Rodri needs a rest. I mean, I haven't heard him be outspoken like that about needing a rest in his post-game press conference as any time before. So I think he should get a rest. And last time we played Luton Town in the Cup, I believe, Rodri also got a rest then, and we beat them 6-2. So there is precedent for Kovacic playing as the deepest lying midfielder here. I do think he'll be prepared for it. I do think he should come in there at the base of the midfield. And then for me, there are five spots remaining in the attack. And in my mind, it's five spots between six players. And I'm interested to hear if you two agree with this, but I'm also interested to see which of these six does not fit in. And the six that I have in mind are Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne, of course. And then Jeremy Doku, Oscar Bob, Mateus Nunes, and Julian Alvarez. And for me, like, those are the guys, okay, aside from Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne, those are the four guys that you would look to rotate in here. I think Nunes hasn't started in over a month. I think it's been six club games since he last started. Oscar Bob, of course, you always look to get him into the 11 in an opportunity like this. Jeremy Doku has been benched the last two. And then Julian Alvarez, of course, has been benched recently, and you would expect him to come back in. But at the same time, you look at the two main men, Kevin De Bruyne, who missed out due to illness. You would think that, assuming that he's now fit and he's ready and it was just a sort of 24-hour thing, you want him to come back in. And maybe it is a cameo, maybe it's an early sub, but at least get a bit of rhythm into his legs. He's not necessarily a player that needs rhythm to be ready for the second leg against Real, but he's a player you probably want to put in there for a bit. And then same with Erling Haaland. You know, typically when we look at the history of him at City, he doesn't really get rotated for these games because he doesn't do a whole lot of running. It's really just the little knocks that he picks up from center backs, you know, getting at him all game. And I think there's an argument to be made that you could drop him here to have a more fluid attack, but you know, he did score five goals last time out against Luton, I believe. So
and they do offer that space, which is rare for a team in that sort of position. I think Erling Haaland plays, and Adam made the point, was it ahead of Crystal Palace or Aston Villa or one of those games, saying you play him to play him into form because strikers, they get confidence from scoring goals, and he's not going to get many better opportunities to get a hatful, as we've seen already, David, against Luton Town. So I think we can confidently say Erling Haaland plays, especially given the minor criticisms. Obviously, some have blown it out of proportion, but it was fair to maybe criticise his game against Real Madrid, but you're not going to get that standard of game, that standard of opposition for a long time. So behind them, it'll be interesting to see where we go. And Nunes, Oscar Bob, Doku, they're the sort of guys I think have to play in this game, David.
Yeah, I would like to see Bob playing. I'd like to see Doku playing. And I think Nunes has to play. I think if we want to try and go for all these trophies towards the end of the season, we are going to need players to be able to come on fresh and have those minutes, like Pep says, come in for 30 minutes. He was playing really well from cameo appearances a couple of weeks ago, whether it's a month ago or whatever it was. He was looking sharp. And we were like, oh, is he set for a bit of a run in the team? And he's just dropped out again. But
It felt like that, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think it will probably, for me, if Haaland doesn't play, I think it picks itself. You'd have De Bruyne, Alvarez up front, Nunes, Bob and Doku, which is effectively the B attack. But with Wilder. Mm. It's mad saying De Bruyne is in the B attack, but for the sake of this conversation,
you said it. I didn't even notice that you picked it up on your head. Be it.
But you know what I mean. Those other guys are now sort of the step ins for Dockers, your Grealish, your Bobs, your Bernardo Silva, Foden, and Alvarez for Haaland. And then I think I would probably be on the other side of the fence, and I'd probably like to see Haaland rested and come on towards the end if needs be. Not because of the criticism. I don't think he necessarily. I know most players do want that confidence to go and score goals, but I just think he needs a bit of a rest. I don't know whether I'm just completely guessing here, but is he carrying that foot knock is worse than we were told when he was. Is it a break? Is it a fracture? He's out. He's in. He's back. He's out for longer. And is he playing through pain? Is he not the full Erling Haaland? And City don't want people to know quite how bad it was. I don't know, but if he can have a rest, I think he's probably one of them players. For me, I would probably like to see him have that rest and get Alvarez back on the goal sheet, on the score sheet, sorry, because I think he deserves a start. And he would, like I said, I think I said it last week, he is a player that he will score you a goal. Like, if he gets a chance in his actual position, which is in that 18-yard box, he puts them away.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And we saw against Aston Villa, didn't we, Alex, that it's also good to have a squad of in-form players, because you don't know when the next injury is going to come. Phil Foden, obviously, we saw him limp off against Real Madrid, but who knows if that's a hope touch what it's not. We'll get more information when the press conference is, and obviously the lineup comes on Saturday, but it could be a week out, it could be 2 weeks out, it could be a month out. It could be that, I don't know, Erling Haaland picks up another knock and then Julian Alvarez is the guy to play the running. So you don't want these guys who are on the periphery to be coming in cold. And looking at the fixture list, this is probably the last chance City are really going to get to make some of those changes. So it could be that it's an Alvarez, De Bruyne, again, mad that he's in this sort of second string, but I'm sure we've been over it a billion times. Doku, Bob, front, what, four, five? I mean, it's possible.
Exactly, yeah. And you look to next weekend as well with the FA Cup against Chelsea, and that also adds an element in here because, typically speaking, I think you would have another fixture coming up after the second leg of Real Madrid where you would be able to rotate again, and then maybe you can sort of spread rotation out across those two, but it's not necessarily the case in this instance. And then after Chelsea is Brighton, which is another really tough test, even if their form this season hasn't been that good. So yeah, I think it really is a sort of balancing act as a manager that you have to take on, where you don't want to put out an 11 that is going to, you know, ruin your chances of winning the game and take you out of the Premier League title race. But at the same time, you need to, A, keep these players happy. You need to keep them motivated every day in training because they play such a pivotal role even when they aren't on the pitch. And then alongside that, just as you said, you never know when you're going to be the next man up. I mean, I don't think Kevin De Bruyne knew he was unwell until an hour or so before kickoff, maybe a little bit before that. And then Kovacic, I assume it was Kovacic who came in for him, wouldn't have known that he was starting and then had to be prepared. So yeah, you really do have to sort of be at that top level at this point in the season, every single player from top to bottom, no matter what sort of role you have. And this is the sort of game where, along with building up form for our big players like Erling Haaland, you have to build up the sort of rhythm for these other players, because you never really know when someone is going to need to step in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is sort of, it's when you look at it as the bigger picture, you start to see the problems that maybe come up. And David, do you think potentially we'll learn more about, because one of the conversations we've had multiple times on this show in the last few weeks is identity, the main men, the starting 11, you know, are we any closer to knowing the 13, 14 guys Pep wants to pick in the biggest of big matches between now and the end of the seasons? Do you think we could potentially learn more about that by the players who are involved in this one as opposed to the ones who are left out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it will, like Alex said, we have that Chelsea game the week after, which is, you could argue, is equally as important as this Real Madrid game. So that we have two huge, huge games. You would think when Pep gets to that sort of run in, it's almost a rinse and repeat for the starting 11 going through towards the finish line. And I think the Madrid game will speak volumes. If people, like you said, if Walker's back fit, if Ake's fit, Foden's fit, Rodri's had a rest, I think we'd almost have a full squad to look at and be like, well, who's getting the nod? Is it Akanji over Walker? Is it Ake over Guardiola? Is it Phil or Kev in the middle? Those sort of questions that we don't know the answer to at the moment, outside of Haaland is our striker, Grealish is our best left winger. We know certain positions, but there's a few question marks over certain ones. So I think, yeah, we coming out of the Madrid game and 100% the Chelsea game, I think we will know probably how well the season's going to end, unless we really stumble after. If we win against Madrid and win against Chelsea and we stumble, I'll be very, very shocked. But I think come next weekend, we'll have a good idea of where we stand in terms of our best 11 and our probability of going back-to-back on the treble.
Oof. The big talk has started. I'm starting to get those little goosebumps. I just wanted to finish off asking you for a bit of a prediction for who you think will be City's main guys. Now, look, they could crash and burn. They could be out of the title race by the end of April. They could get knocked out of the Champions League and Chelsea could win next weekend. And that could be that for the season. It's possible. But assuming City stay alive in at least one of the big trophies and fingers crossed go on to win one of the big trophies. Alex, give me, let's say, three players who you think are going to be those guys. You know, Gundogan last year, Rodri, possibly Haaland as well, even though he finished the season slowly. You know, that sort of level of player who are going to step up in the biggest moments. Who do you think he could be?
I think Phil Foden is at the top of the list. It's hard to not say his name. I think, you know, he said something like, ticked off the bucket list for scoring for Bernabeu. And then I saw someone respond and say, hey, you still got Allianz Arena and Wembley to go this season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just wait and see. I do think that he has to be there no matter which position he's playing. He's someone who just seems to have those moments in him this season. I think alongside him, you know, Kevin De Bruyne in attack is
the
just another guy.
That's one of the things you've got to look at here, isn't it? Because there's so much talk about can they play together, and we've seen Foden be the guy in the middle. Kevin De Bruyne is the guy in the middle. And yes, of course, they can play together, but that's something that takes a lot of coaching. And this is a time of the season where there's not a lot of time to do coaching.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a matter of them at this point in the season. I don't think it's really a matter of them playing together and expecting them to sort of be at their best in the same match. But I do think that just given the amount of matches that you need, you know, Phil Foden's not going to score in every single one of them. No, and I think we saw it last week where you have Villa and then Palace, you have Phil Foden score a hat-trick and then Kevin De Bruyne put in a masterclass. Like that's the sort of balance that I think you can reach with them, where as much as we get frustrated with them not playing together, if you have Phil Foden being the man of the match in sort of the A games and then Kevin De Bruyne the man of the match, and not saying A and B is like a hierarchy, just A B alternating, like that's perfect. That's all you can really ask for, because you're going to win matches. And then to give you one more name, it has to be Jack Grealish for me, because
ooh, I love that.
Just not talking about the score sheet anything, you know, he's just adds a whole nother dynamic to City. And we give him his flowers on this podcast, I think, but yeah, you really just can't understate the impact that he has to this side in the biggest of occasions, because he just offers a certain level of, it's just a sort of Rolls Royce ability that he has. No matter the occasion, he just does what he does and no one else can do that.
David, the three main guys for you?
I think, obviously, I stick with Phil Foden. It'd be very shocking for his form to drop towards the end of the season. Now he's on such a rich vein of form that I think he has a moment in him outside of the ones he's already put down on the board. I would love Kevin De Bruyne to have his moment, whether that be in a final, because he seems to have just always missed out through injuries or something stopped him from having his moment for Man City that Gundogan's had. It's coming off in finals, or Gundogan scoring the United FA Cup. Kev deserves one more than anyone else in that squad, I think, now. Just because I'd love him, I think John Stones or Nathan Ake, I'd love to see one of them score a winning goal in the cup final, just because they're both such good people. Not without
elegant people as well.
I don't know them, but they come across so well, and like, I love them both. And Haaland as well. I'd love Haaland to actually be able to say to someone, I turn up in the big games and goes and scores a goal in a cup final, Champions League final, and everyone goes, okay, actually, he is the main man, because he hasn't had his moment yet. I know it will come eventually, but I said a few there. But and Jack Grealish, I love Jack Grealish as well. Sorry, there's five there.
It's okay, there's 11 players on the pitch. I know, I've set you that task and I'm trying to think of my own, and I'm coming up with about 6-7 different names. Phil Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, I think you can put as one of the same. They're sort of, you know, upper echelon at the moment. Rodri, again, he's the best player in the world, in my opinion. And it's hard for him not to. If whatever City do, it will be because of him. And if they don't have him, then Jesus, wave goodbye to any hopes of any success, I reckon. And maybe an outside shout, someone who hasn't been mentioned, Kyle Walker. The guy has been talking the talk. He seems hungry. He's probably, out of everyone in that team, the man with a point to prove the most. Obviously had a show of faith at the start of the season. Guardiola's put his arm around him, said, no, we want you to stay. He stayed, started off the season really well, dropped off considerably. Rico Lewis has come in and bossed it. Look, it could be Rico Lewis, I don't know, but club captain, Kyle Walker coming back, strong end to the season. Look, I wouldn't be surprised, but we'll wait and see. That's a bit of hypothesising to round off the week. But guys, thank you very much. Alex, enjoyed that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
David, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good luck tomorrow, City.
Absolutely. And listeners, thank you very much. End of another week. Hopefully we'll be back on Monday celebrating another victory and obviously previewing that mammoth game on Wednesday night next week. But until then, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season running with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.